Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Sarah.
It is indeed.
And that's Chris.
Hiya.
Now, children are always taught that lying is bad. Even as adults, lying can be seen as a bit naughty or downright abhorrent. However, we have all lied at some point in our lives, whether it be over something big or something very, very small. Today, we're answering this question, is honesty always the best policy?
Oh, this is a really tricky one. Now, obviously, one is supposed to, especially as a trainee vicar, say, you know,
you're under oath, Mr. Gull.
Yeah, I mean, there is a commandment about not lying, but and there is obviously a lot of morality attached to it. But I was thinking about kind of extreme scenarios. So if I was in Nazi Germany and the Gestapo were coming to my door, that's the most extreme scenario, isn't it? But I was thinking, you know, if they knocked on my door and said, "Do you know where your Jewish friends are?" and I actually knew where they are, I am faced with this moral dilemma of, well, you know, if one shouldn't lie, then you could say, "I'm not going to tell you," and then you are then in trouble. Or you're going to give up your friends. And it's like, oh, well, is it okay to lie to protect other people? And that type of thing. So I guess I've come to the conclusion that if you believe in a moral objective standard, so if you believe there is a universal right and wrong, then you're stuck. But if you don't believe in a, you know, universal moral standard, then actually kind of why wouldn't you lie to get out of trouble? You know, and if no one's hurt, that's always the thing, isn't it? That people say, if nobody's hurt, then it's fine. But actually, if you believe in life beyond the material, then I think you're in a tricky situation.
Oh, it's a very strong start there.
Sorry.
God, hey.
You can always count on Chris.
Sarah, bring it back down to planet Earth.
There we go. Yeah. Let's get it in the gutter. I mean, yeah, I would absolutely agree with you, Chris, that, you know, I think, to be honest, in that situation, if you were like, well, I can't lie, and you were like, actually, yes, I do know where they are. They're just in that house over there. Will you sleep soundly in your bed knowing that, well, at least I didn't lie? You know, and I think, I don't know, I was thinking about all this kind of lying and being 100% honest all the time and that kind of thing. And I was thinking, like, we don't really set people up from the get-go to be 100% honest, because especially, or at least in, you know, in the society the three of us grew up in, like, you're told about things like Father Christmas and the Tooth Fairy.
Yep.
And your parents tell you, you know, hopefully they didn't, you know, tell you awful destructive lies, but they don't tell you the truth. They aren't always 100% honest. And so, I don't know, what are you supposed to hit some certain age where suddenly, you know, it's you have to be 100% honest all the time? And yeah, if as you say, Chris, if there is this absolute rule that lying is bad, then so do you are you going to be brutal? Like, because I think there is sometimes real brutal honesty, which I don't think is kind and I don't think is loving.
Well, there's definitely an argument, isn't there, that a child or a toddler's mind has not, or brain has not developed, so they can't process certain information. So of course you can't just say the bloody honest truth or something like that. However, you don't need to invent Santa Claus.
No, but,
well, Krampus is your favorite, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. Oh, there he is. Well, but this is the problem. You invent one, should we invent something else? Should we, you know, where does it go? You see, a lie can lead to a lie. As Marcus Fabius Quintilianus, as I'm also known, the Roman educator Quintilian.
Twitter handle. Yeah.
Quintilian to you and me, I believe. He said, "A liar should have a good memory." I quite like that.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that I think, look, we're all agreed in what's been said, and I think, Sarah, that people are taught to be polite before being truth tellers, I think. A friend of mine,
so true.
A friend of mine was on a work course thing, a big sort of it was like a weekend away, and they were doing various kind of team building exercises is what I'm trying to say, and all this kind of stuff. And it was a company wide thing, so there was loads of employees there from this particular company that he worked for. And he said you had this kind of slightly cheesy motivational speaker type person, and they said, right, I want you to get into groups of this, or stand next to somebody who you think this, and it was really telling when I mean, it is a little bit David Brent, this, I do appreciate, but he said, stand next to someone in the room who you think looks like a leader. Now that's a bit tricky, but people did it. They had a go. Mm-hmm. And then he said, now I want you to stand next to someone who you don't think looks like a leader.
Ooh.
And of course nobody moves. Everyone just stands there. And then he said, oh, well, you obviously prioritise politeness over telling the truth then. Now, obviously a bit Ooh. Cheesy and so on, but it is an interesting thought about people's psyche.
I just think there are certain situations, and I'm not talking super seriously now, but like there are certain situations where the right thing to do is lie. For example, someone on their wedding day, they're in their wedding dress, the hair and makeup is done, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And she says to you, do I look okay? And you think she actually, the dress was a bad decision.
Yeah.
The foundation's the wrong color and the hair.
You look like a toy soldier
her.
In that makeup. Yeah, exactly.
You lie through your teeth and you say, you look beautiful. You zip it.
Of course
it.
You do.
That is a correct time to lie. And it's things like when someone's had a haircut that doesn't quite suit them. Like,
oh, I've had to do that before for people, yeah.
What, you've lied?
To people, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not like the guy who, you know, if you've had a bad haircut, I'll go and see Marcus, he'll make you feel better. It's not like, you know. Although I think I could provide that service, to be perfectly honest with you. But yes, I have. I think, and you touched upon something a minute ago, Sarah, when you said, you know, the society we grew up in. And this is in no way saying that in Britain we do things better. But I think definitely in this country, we beat around the bush often when asked a question. We're not very direct. I think that's partly the English language, but more so our society. Because you would say other countries that speak English would be more direct. And I think, certainly speaking, having had conversations with friends of mine from other countries, even just other European nations, they find that that British people maybe don't actually say what they're really thinking. I don't know if we're as bad as we are, but I know that some people, this is a Dutch friend of mine said that, a friend of his who's also Dutch, said, and they're quite direct, and he said when he first moved here, his mate said to him, a little bit of advice, don't only say about 60 to 70% of what you're thinking and what you... Or how you'd like to answer the question. They like it watered down here for some weird reason. And it is quite strange. But I think in other countries, and there's pros and cons, as I say, this is not, oh, therefore we're inherently better, or indeed worse. But I think that the prioritising over the polite and all that kind of stuff is a massive part of British society.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to tell the truth in a kind way, though, doesn't it? Like, as you said, if someone... I mean, like, the wedding dress scenario, that would be harrowing if you were faced with that, because you feel like you've got no other option. But let's say it's, you know, you're going out with your friends and they want to try clothes on in the shops or whatever. Like, you don't want to say, oh, no, that makes you look podgy, or that makes you look pale, or that makes you look whatever.
Should we try it in a larger size?
But you would have to work at, like, oh, maybe, you know, I think you're bettering this colour or this thing. Like, you have to put the work in to tell the truth. And there's more, you are telling the truth, but you're also deflecting it a bit from, I don't
deflecting
want to destroy you.
It's telling the truth in a kind way, because especially when it's something where telling the completely unvarnished truth can actually be quite hurtful, but the truth
damaging.
Still needs to be told. So countless times I've been shopping with people, and there are certain friends who I know I can count on, and my mum is another one, who will be honest and say, I don't think that one's right for you, but wouldn't say, you look fat. you know?
Yeah.
They're helpful if they offer an alternative. That's the thing as well. If you just say, no, it's like, well, that's how are you help me at all? But if someone says, oh, I think you look great in whatever this, or this would better suit you, or even a career, if someone comes to you and says that they want to change career, and you're like, I think Marcus, we once spoke to chat, and you were like, you get some friends who, they get into their 30s and all of a sudden they want to change career, and you're like, it's not you. Like, it's not cut out for you. Uh-huh. Type thing. And so you need to be honest because you care for them, but you can say it in a better way or a kinder way, which I think goes into your point, Marcus, about I think we Brits maybe, and it's again not to say we're better or right or wrong, we maybe value that. We value how do you nuance that truth.
And that, as I say, has pros and cons. But I think also the couple of the scenarios that you laid out there, it is also reliant on can you fix the situation or can you do something. So as you said, Sarah, if the girl is about to go down the aisle, there's no, whereas if it was a half an hour before the wedding and you thought, actually, look, I tell you what, we'll just tone that down a little bit, or whatever it was, whereas if you're in a shop, why would you let your mate buy something that you think, you know, that's a lot of money, you're going to look ridiculous. No, I have to stage an intervention here. But of course, if somebody does have, say, a career change or does something quite big, I think, again, and we see this with maybe people getting into relationships, it gets to a point where you have to be honest. But then if they've gone for it, do you then keep going on the honesty going, well, I don't think you should have married that person.
Yeah,
I don't think you should have done that.
At what point does that cross into just not being a supportive friend?
Exactly, yeah. And I think you don't have to lie necessarily, but it's a fine line.
It goes into our previous show about disagreeing as well then, doesn't it? Like, you know, how do you disagree well? If they've got into a relationship that you kind of disagree with, you know, how do you do that well? Again, it's probably, that's so tricky because you don't want to break friendship. And I think friendship's a bit on trust, and fundamentally, if you lie to people, it kind of does break trust, especially if it gets found out. And I was listening to a podcast the other day on parenting, because I'm now a parent, so I need to learn about these things. And it was an interesting scenario where somebody wrote in to the presenters and said, my 2.5-year-old has started to lie. How do I deal with this? And they just, you know, as kids are learning, aren't they, about their own autonomy and about the you know, what they can do and what they can't do.
And again, the brain hasn't developed maybe like empathy, maybe things like that.
And the way they responded was really beautiful. And it said, like, you should say to your kid, first of all, don't give them an opportunity to lie. So they were saying that, you know, when you see a kid, I don't know, take a cookie. Did you take a cookie? Don't ask them a question. Just say, I saw you take the cookie. If they say, no, I didn't, then they say, basically, you know, when you don't tell the truth, it hurts mummy or daddy. Like, it actually damages the relationship and the trust. You wouldn't say it complex to a child, but it's focusing on the real issue is the damaged trust when you find out someone lies. So that's what you need to make sure that you work to repair. Because most of the time, we don't want to damage the relationship. And actually, lying is kind of you're scared of punishment. So again, creating an environment where you're not going to be punished for telling the truth. Punishment and discipline are two different things, so there might be consequences, but there is definitely it's the trust that's damaged. And I think that's the interesting thing for me. It's like, gosh, if I lie to my friends and they find out, they're not going to trust me anymore. And that's something I really want to value in my relationships.
Well, that's very, very interesting. And it's true. I think if you tell a lie, one may weigh up the knock-on effect that could have. There's a book by Cecilia Bock called Lying, Moral Choice in Public and Private Life. And it was in the late 70s. Apparently, it's very, very good. I always give further reading, even though I don't do it myself.
There's always homework on this show.
Exactly.
And if we could be bothered, we put links in the actual show, but do it yourself.
Would you want me to come around and read it for you, for crying out loud? And it was a quote from it. The test of publicity asks which lies, if any, would survive the appeal for justification to reasonable persons. And so let me say that again. The test of publicity asks which lies, if any, would survive the appeal for justification to reasonable persons. And this idea that if you were in front of a jury or a panel or whatever, and you could you justify the lie? And as you say, you know, there are certain scenarios, there are certain situations, because actually is politeness what's called for in this situation? You know, is the honest truth just really what we're after? Who are we lying to? You know, what are the consequences of the truth even, or the lie? You know, should the government tell the public everything that's going on behind the scenes? Because that's one thing the public, what is it, one thing that the public of in this country, and I'm quite sure in other parts of the world as well, there's this whole thing, they're all bloody liars, you hear. They're all liars, they're all tarred with the same brush kind of thing. And we crave honesty from politicians. And I think in the day-to-day, absolutely. But there are some things that you may not want to know going on behind the scenes because it could inject fear into the public.
Yeah, it's the panic. You want to avoid panic as well. That's the thing with the government. And I think it's interesting. I saw a newspaper article earlier today about this. I think there's going to be a release about UFOs from the US government and stuff.
And here we go.
So again, you're like, you know, well, are they going to release the information? You know, if it, let's say there are UFOs, then, you know, what's that going to do to the public? So why, there must be a reason that they've kept things under wraps for so long. It's either they don't exist or they're worried about the response that the public are going to have, right?
You know, if you're on a plane, would you rather know everything that's going on in the cockpit if you know it's a bit bumpy, or would you rather the steward serve you peanuts and a Fanta?
Absolutely not. So somebody once told me, and I'm not even going to say what it is, but when I was a teenager, because once I share it,
like, ruined flying for everyone.
You can easily find it by Googling it, but someone said that there was, like, this might not even be true, but like a certain set of, like,
he's lying to us. That's
a certain set of, like, you know, the beeping noises that happen, like, you know, when the seatbelt signs get switched on or something. They said it was a certain number of those basically meant, oh no, panic stations, like, everyone get your seatbelts on because we're in big trouble. And someone told me what that was, and I've obviously never been able to forget it, and I really do not like flying.
You're counting them every time you hear that bibba bibba. You're on your edge.
I really am. And so
maybe it's Morse code and you're trying to, you know,
could be. But that was one of those things where it's like, I don't need to know that. Sometimes there are just things where you don't need to know. It causes more harm or more anxiety or whatever it may be to know everything, I think. I think there are, like, obviously, you know, it's, about those beeps, it's getting.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, Tony. According to Psychology Today, in a study carried out with nurses, over 90% of them believed it was ethical to lie to their patients.
Really?
However, they saw ethical distinctions depending on the nature of the lie. For example, 92% of them thought it was ethical to lie to patients in order to reduce aggressive behaviour, but only 36% thought it was ethical to lie in order to save time dealing with patients. But it's still interesting, though, isn't it?
That is interesting.
Because again,
I was, before you said that, I was thinking the medical profession don't lie. Like, as in they give it to you straight. When you get these things happen, you're like, oh my gosh, like, they've just told me quite straight, and that's quite hard. But I'm really surprised that they 90% would say that it's okay to lie, or they would want to.
But I think this was a nurses in a particular ward dealing with particular people, you know, a bit more extreme. I don't think it's a case of your COVID test's negative, you know, and it's positive sort of thing. I mean, you know, I don't think anything daft like that, but this is for anything, you know. This is for people who, you know, is it going to hurt? No, I mean, probably not that much. You know, because if you say, is it going to hurt, they might tense up and that might make the operation or even taking blood harder, that kind of thing.
It's interesting. I think, I'm not sure when, but I've certainly heard stories about years ago when doctors wouldn't necessarily tell the patient themselves, for example, if, you know, a diagnosis was terminal and, you know, they might actually not lie point blank and say you're going to be fine, but kind of be like, oh yes, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, often things like, if it was a woman's condition, they would tell her husband the truth, not tell her the truth. And that was seen as being compassionate, you know, oh, well, this way she doesn't have to worry. She can enjoy the time she's got left, blah, blah, blah. I think if it's about, like, your own personal health, and I'm sure that wouldn't happen today, but that, when I heard about that, that kind of blew my mind, that you could tell somebody else about their spouse's health, but not them.
Is that not quite sexist? Like they were just thinking the men can cope and the women can't. Is that more to do with that?
Yeah, pretty much. And also, like, he can make decisions about her medical care rather than giving her the full details so that she can make an informed decision. But
yeah, I mean, obviously, that's nowadays, you know, even back then, certainly on one level, that's bad, but doubly bad because you think you've got to tell the patient. But I mean, I do actually know one or two people who back in the day, it was actually the wife was told.
Really?
That the husband had cancer and so on, and they're fine now. But wow. Yeah, it was a different way of thinking because you thought, oh, well, let's not get them stressed or worried or anything like that. Have either of you lied on your CV or exaggerated the truth?
That terrifies me. You know how, like, I'm quite a worrier. It was when I was applying to university, I worried that I had somehow accidentally put the wrong thing on my application, even though I hadn't. I was like, what if I, like, temporarily lost my mind and, like, wrote down that I got 12 A-levels and they're going to find me out? So, no, I would never do that. No way. Too stressful.
I haven't. But I'm interested, Sarah, would you ever embellish the truth or would you just go, no, straight down the middle? I'm not going to make this a grander story than it really is.
I'd maybe polish it up in the way that, you know, you kind of maybe play up your involvement in something a bit more than it was. But I would never say, like, oh, yeah, and I've got a degree in neuroscience, when I don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite provable, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that there's...
Have you, Marcus? Don't skip the question.
No, but I have...
Do you have a CV?
Well, this is it, yeah. But my you know, in my field, people would exaggerate the truth. I think... Yeah, I've not really been in the situation where I would have had the opportunity to lie, if you see what I mean. Mm. But certainly, I think there is, not to you know, encourage people to lie, I think there's a bit of a sweet spot in that. I think you can say something which might allude to something else, but actually, you know, you could say, I don't know, I've worked with a number of, you know, I'm desperately trying to think. I've worked with actors who have been in this film, in this film, in this film. Well, you might have done, but they might not have been the main actors, if you see what I mean. You know, so you're trying to sort of say that maybe it sounds a little bit more grand. And I think that...
So it's misleading. I mean, we're getting into the nuance now. If you're misleading people intentionally, then that's a lie, even if you haven't explicitly stated something that's untrue.
Yeah, no, well, that's a fair point. I mean, as like I said, I've not really had, for want of a better word, the opportunity to do that. But I think I think it's annoying when you see people who massively exaggerate the truth and have no shame, and they get quite far in certain industries. And that is very, very frustrating, or it can be. But actually, again, going back to that, I think it must be exhausting being a liar but if we want to make it sound a bit more cooler or we appreciate it, we call someone a bluffer, don't we? And it's okay to be to be a blagger or a bluffer, but it's not okay to be a liar, because again, with blagging, you sort of think, oh yeah, I got myself into first class on the plane because I said this, or I got myself into the, you know, fashion week in London.
I was going to say,
whatever you said,
Chris. Fashion week party, Chris.
But again, but you're weighing it up.
Yeah,
thinking,
I mean, that was a lie.
No one is going to get hurt by this. What's going to happen is I'm going to have a lovely old time, and they're going to have the same time, whether I'm having a lovely old time or not.
It could be better.
It could be better. The novelty of having you around.
I genuinely get quite, like, stressed. Like, lying I find extremely stressful. Like, I really don't like lying. If I can avoid it at all, like, you know, I wouldn't, as you know, in the conversations we've had so far, you know, I wouldn't necessarily just blurt out the truth, but I would really try to avoid the lying. And, like, I think part of it is, like, just that the living in the fear of being called out and being exposed, that must just be so stressful.
Yeah.
It's just not, like, for most things, like, I'm sure there are exceptions, but just I feel like for a lot of it, you must just be like, it's just not worth it.
But when you get a film like The Wolf of Wall Street, for example, like Jordan Belfont, I think his name is, or you get that guy who did the, what was that festival? The Fire Festival.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah, guys like that. I look at those and it nearly always is men. I sort of think, where do you get off on that?
It must just be so stupid.
How do you sleep?
Yeah,
I just think, you knobheads. Like, I really... I have zero time for it. And I find it, not only do I find it sort of unimpressive, I find it quite repulsive, if you see what I mean.
Some of that, though, comes down to, I think there is a certain kind of person who just fundamentally doesn't care what other people experience or feel or think. So if
who's
you are
borderline
a person,
psychotic.
Yeah,
almost.
If you just think, it genuinely does not bother me that 1,000 people are out of pocket thousands and thousands of dollars. That just doesn't bother me. I guess that's how you sleep at night. But I think most of us would feel bad, at least a little bit.
What gets me is, in my head, the question is, what made you think you could even get away with it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, are you
delusional? Yes, you've lied. Yeah, like, what makes you think you'll never get found out or that this isn't going to come to life? I think there's a famous C.S. Lewis quote that said, a little lie is like a pregnancy. It isn't long before everybody knows. Mm. And it's like, how did you not think that was going to come out? Especially that Fyre Festival. That's a classic example of like, and maybe... He didn't set out to lie. He just was terrible executing his plan. But then it started to lie and snowball and get worse and worse. And you're like, you're so going to get found out. You need to sort this out.
And that's one of those things where, like, when you've got a situation like that that is very rapidly getting out of control, the best thing to do is, as early as possible, just go, well, hold on. I've got to be honest with you. This is all falling apart. If he had just, you know, it would still have been a nightmare. But a lot of situations can be at least... The damage can be reduced by putting your hands up and saying, I'm going to be honest, this isn't going well.
Well, let me go on.
I was going to say, as a society, we do hold truth, you know, quite highly. That's, you know, why a lot of law courts are in session a lot of the time and that sort of stuff. And I just think it's something that is, I think, inbuilt within us. And I think that's, again, that sort of universal truth that we think, that across all societies, lying is always seen as a bad thing, isn't it? You know, wherever you were born, in whatever era, it's always seen as like that's not the way we should act.
Yes, but it can play out differently, though. So let me give you a scenario. England are in the World Cup final. There's seconds to go. Harry Kane gets the ball. The defender puts his leg out. Kane can go around him. Or he can walk into that defender's leg and win a penalty. Now, I know with video assistant replays, that's probably less likely. Sarah, I put the same scenario to you with a rugby equivalent, and Wales are in the World Cup final. Do you want Harry Kane to go over, get that penalty, England win 1-0, lovely old job, we're world champions? And it's and the same with Wales, you know, they get the try and they win the World Cup. Because suddenly I think, oh, actually, you know. Because in some footballing cultures, such as Argentina, they love it if they deceive the referee. It shows clever and cunning. It shows
it's
a level of
intelligence. Part of the game for them, right? Like, that's actually part of the game. I swear, in our culture, we're like, oh, no, you shouldn't possibly dive and cheat unless you're Michael Owen against Argentina and that. Okay.
Exactly. But also, in this country, in old England, we like to think we're more honest. But if you can hit or boot your opponent up in the air and get away with it, oh, we quite like that because it shows, the deception shows a bit of toughness, perhaps, and that's maybe traditional masculinity or whatever. Because in that game when Maradona handballs it in 1986, you know, I think it was it Fenwick elbows Maradona in the face, should have got a red card, but it wasn't seen. But people, oh, but you know, that was just it. Yeah, that's the way things go. No, that was before the goal. So.
Oh, okay. You see what I mean? Because he did that.
No, I believe it was just in the same game, and they were just giving him rough treatment because they knew he was the man to try and kick out of the game, essentially. Evidently didn't work quite spectacularly. Some people value this differently. It's very, very interesting. I'd like to sort of finish with some thoughts from the psychologist Jeff Hancock, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course.
He says we're all liars. Do you believe him? He distinguishes between normal liars and prolific liars, which, Sarah, I think you're saying that some people, they don't give a damn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And They're often young men in finance, according to him. he says, studies have found that people are more willing to lie to receive incentives that benefit their entire team or group rather than the incentives just for themselves, which is very interesting because presumably that would boost sort of team morale or maybe even their status within the group, which is a fascinating thought.
Well, especially if in your group you think, you know, somebody really needs that, you know, money if it's a bonus type thing. Like, yeah, it would be interesting that you could be more
350 million of it, perhaps. You know, Chris.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine. You know,
well,
who doesn't need that?
Well, that was what one of the lies of the Brexit campaign, wasn't it? 350 million more for the National Health Service. Politicians can just say stuff to make their, you know, their team, their group, their nation feel a bit better. And they feel if that's an incentive, you know. Mm. People are more likely... This is a lovely little one, I think. People are more likely to lie when using email rather than in writing.
Whoa.
That's interesting.
That's stupid. That's a recorded document.
There's something about literally having to write the words with your own fair hand with a pen.
Yeah.
Makes it harder to lie.
I think it because maybe it's more real or something. But as you say, Chris, you can tear up a piece of paper and email's there for the rest of time.
Huh. Yeah. That's very interesting.
Uh-huh. He does give a bit of advice, though. He says, if you suspect someone might be lying to you, but you're not sure, an easy way to find out is to ask them why questions. It is much more difficult for people to lie about why they did something or why something happened than it is for them to lie about basic facts. If someone struggles to explain their intentions, it's a major red flag that they're lying. Good piece of advice, that.
Do you guys know the games like Mafia and Avalon and those sort of games? Mm. Which is all built on the premise of lying. Mm. I find those games brilliant, but also like... Because we're not very good at lying and then lying and then lying. You might be able to do one, but as you said, Marcus, you asked that why question in those sort of games, all of a sudden you can just see immediately people's reactions that they're stuck. And I think it's quite easy to pick out people on those games just by asking that basic question of why.
Well, it's like the comedy show, is it Would I Lie to You?
Yep.
Where it's got, if you haven't seen it, it's kind of generally comedians or other well-known people, and they'll read something out and it may well be a lie, but they'll be questioned on it. And I am always in absolute awe at the ones who have constructed this amazing story about something and they really can stand up under the questioning. I'd just immediately be like, oh, I'm sorry. I was lying all along. Sorry.
Just yeah, but you'd have to tell the truth about an odd story.
Yeah.
That's what you would do, you see, which is part of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there we are. So what do we think? Honesty is usually the best policy, unless
often
in special circumstances.
Yeah, Nazi Germany or a wedding.
Yes. How often I've heard those two things said in the same sentence. And with children, with certain things as well. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get in touch with us, the social media handles are at AQQAPod on Insta and Twitter. We'll be back next week with another question, so do tune in for that. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you.
See you next week.